Hi, everyone. Matt Polka with a special video edition of our ACA Connects podcast that we're calling DC to You, where we take the opportunity here in Washington to interview and talk with key members of Congress who talk about issues of importance not only to our members, but to all Americans. Today, we're going to be spending some time with Congressman Bob Latta from Northwest Ohio in the Toledo area. He is the ranking member of the Subcommittee on Communications and Technology. Here's our video podcast, DC to You, with Congressman Bob Latta. Hi, everyone. Matt Polka here with a special edition of our ACA Connects video podcast that we call DC to You. And here today, we're with Congressman Bob Latta of Toledo, Northwest Ohio. Congressman, great to have you with us.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Tell us about that yellow flower on your lapel.
Well, around the entire Capitol today on the House side, you'll see members wearing a yellow
rose. Lots of them.
Oh, absolutely. And what today is significant for, it's the 100th anniversary of the House representatives voting for the 19th Amendment, which, of course, would be to give women suffrage. And so this is what the flowers are for today.
Well, it looks great on you there. You should wear one of those maybe every day.
What do you think? We'll see.
Hey, there's a lot going on in Congress within your committee, the Subcommittee on Communications and Technology, of which you're your ranking member. We have worked with you and your team on countless days and months on various issues. Tell us about what's on the plate within the subcommittee and what issues you're focused on this year.
Well, some of the big ones I'm working on are, of course, robocalls, privacy. The third would be what we worked on extensively last year was on self-drive cars. And then also getting rural broadband. So those four are really big topics for me in this Congress.
Well, those are very important issues. Let me ask you this question, kind of off the cuff. Have you yourself ever gotten a robocall where you answered it and said, do you know who you're talking to?
No, I've gotten robocalls, but I've never done that.
That would be fun to see on tape at some point, just with your position on the subcommittee.
But believe it or not, when we were having the hearings on robocalls, we actually had members getting robocalls during the hearing.
Not surprised.
On their cell phones. No. Over $50 billion will be made this year. And so, you know, we have a real problem out there. And you know, people are getting, you might say, fleeced out there, you know, because, again, some people fall for these what's happening. And so it's a real issue for a lot of individuals. We're worried about our senior citizens.
Oh, for sure.
Because a lot of these, our seniors are getting these calls. So It's a topic that we want to get resolved because, again, a lot of people say, wait a minute, I thought I signed up for the do not call list.
Sure.
Well, these calls are coming in, the vast majority, from overseas. And so we've got to find ways to make sure we can get these things stopped.
Well, not only are you concerned about robocall issues, but you're also leading the effort from a legislative perspective, authoring a bill to help address some of these issues.
Well, absolutely, because, again, with the legislation that I have and the Democrat chair of the subcommittee is the one who's my co on this legislation because, again, we want to make sure that it's easier for people to get out from having, you know, robocalls sent to them or when they receive them. One of the things is that we want to make sure there's an opt-out provision because in a lot of cases it's an opt-in. And what we find is out there, people just don't opt in.
They won't opt in, right.
So give people an opt-out, make sure it's free, make sure that the sharing of information is out there. And so we want to make sure that this is stopped. Now, we can't get them all stopped because, again, unfortunately, they're going to find different ways. But at the same time, we've got to be careful as we write the legislation. What we're worried about is that if there are certain robocalls you want to get from your doctor's office, say you got an appointment, from the pharmacy, if you have kids in school saying, oh, guess what, you don't have school this morning. Mm-hmm. So there's certain things we want to make sure, and also the FCC's working with the private side right now, trying to make sure that there's an authentication out there that can happen by the end of the year. So we have a couple of things working right now to try to get this thing resolved.
Well, it definitely is one of the most important issues from a communications perspective. You have been a champion of small business. You have authored a bill that's known as SARO, the Small Entities Regulatory Relief and Opportunities Act. It's a bill that our members certainly support because of who they are as smaller businesses in the communication space. Tell us a little bit about your bill and maybe what you see for passage this year, maybe as part of the satellite bill reauthorization, maybe on its own. What do you see happening with your bill?
With CIRO, the big thing, again, is one size does not fit all. We have a lot of smaller businesses out there that just, you know, you're overburdened on the regulatory side. I've done over 1,000 visits since they've been keeping track of me in just the last 6 years in the district. And so I'm out all the time. I've never heard any business of any type ever tell me this: we're against all regulations. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they say, you know, we have to have regulations we can live with. We can't have regulations that are so overbearing on us that, you know, it really prevents them from going out there and doing, you know, the job they have to do. So what we want to do is give them some help out there on the regulatory relief side with, you know, with the FCC. Say, look, there's certain things that a smaller business, you know, should be able to not have to meet right off the bat, you might say, sure, and give them some help. And so, again, pull things back a little bit. But at the same time, nobody's saying we're not going to have regulations out there. It's, for instance, when I did the Internet of Things working group and we've worked on that legislation, one thing I heard from everybody, they said, we're not against regulations.
Right.
Just give us soft touch regulations,
sure,
that we can go out there and, you know, move with and develop with, but not to, you know, just say we're going to dump this, all these bricks on top of you and figure out how you're going to get out of this thing. So it's important for smaller businesses because, again, they don't have the wherewithal to have, you know, all the attorneys, or they might not have folks out there that can say, you know, working with them all the time. So it's a real burden on them to try to get through all these things.
And to your point, and I'm sure you've seen this in all of the visits that you made with small businesses, there is a different kind of application of regulation on smaller businesses versus large, because
absolutely,
you have fewer customers, higher costs per customer,
right,
et cetera. So that disproportion of impact of regulation makes a difference.
So, and that's why we're going to keep working on this. We want to get it through. And again, you know, it's the process. You know, you never give up. You just keep working on the legislation. But we want this to get through because, again, we know how it'll help small business across the country.
Well, one thing it seems like members on both sides can agree on today when we talk about communications issues is broadband deployment, and specifically rural broadband,
right,
deployment, something that our members care about and deploy each and every day. Do you consider that there are ideas that are commonly shared by members of both sides right now on how to address problems of rural broadband deployment going forward?
Well, and that's a great point, because when you look at rural broadband, it's not a Republican, Democrat, or Independent issue. We all have issues across our districts. We all know where those spots are in our districts where it's not being deployed. And, you know, when we don't have that deployment out there, you know, think about the kids in school anymore, that everything they do almost has to be done. I was in a school yesterday and spoke, and the kids were all working on computers doing math.
Mm-hmm.
They had headphones on. They're all doing their own thing at their own pace. But at the same time, when kids go home, they're going to have that broadband to be able to do their homework. Small businesses out across my district, they might not be able to locate in certain areas, because if they do, they're going to find out, wait a minute, we don't have broadband. And how do you communicate? How do you work, transmit in this day and age without it? And so if somebody goes to look you up, do a quick search looking for whatever you might do, and all of a sudden they can't find you, you're done. So we want to make sure that, you know, we help these unserved areas. There's a difference between unserved and underserved, and so we want to really get in these unserved areas to help. And again, that's why we developed the Rural Broadband Caucus, where we have Republicans and Democrats. I'm a co-chair of this,
sure,
to move forward on this, to get this deployed across the country. Other thing that, you know, when we're working on this, we often saw when the maps came out,
right,
we all could say, well, wait a minute, to the FCC, these maps aren't correct, because we know in our districts that we go into this area and it's, you know, you got a dead area over here. And so one of the things we're hearing from, especially I heard from my folks back home, local officials, wait a minute, how do we say that we got a problem? So that's why I introduced legislation to help, you know, them be able to go out there and say, we have issues with the maps,
sure,
and that these things are not correct. So because you can't do a good job if you don't have the correct map, you don't know where that area is that's unserved out in your districts. Because again, people can't move forward, kids can't do their homework. So we want to get this thing, and also on the healthcare side.
Of course.
It's everything anymore.
Right.
So if you don't have it, you got a real problem.
And particularly in smaller markets, rural areas, where it's just as important to connect. And I know that you have worked on other issues before related to broadband funding. But to your point about mapping, if you don't know where you need to to apply the funds, then it's almost backwards.
You have to know where the problem is before you can go out and fix it.
Well, we've had a chance to talk about a few questions where it seems like things are getting done. But my last question for you is more environmental, and that's the D.C. environment, where if you read the headlines, you read and you learn that nothing gets done. Well, I know that's not the case, but it's still a very, very difficult environment. Tell us what it's like, what it's really like in today's Washington, D.C., from a political perspective, trying to move forward on issues, and really how you go about your job in what is a unique environment.
Well, you know, first and foremost, right off the bat, you find people that you say, you know, we have a shared problem. How can we get this thing done? You know, sometimes, you might not be able to agree with somebody on certain issues, but you find the issues you can work on. You never want to sacrifice your principles, but you find those areas you can work on. Rural broadband's one of them. You know, when I look in the Energy and Commerce Committee, there's multiple areas I've worked with Democrats on because it's a shared area. You know, grid security, making sure, you know, when you're talking about cybersecurity, you know, you can go down an entire list of things that affects all of us. So it's making, you know, it's bringing people together. It's working with people in those situations. But again, there's some areas that we're going to agree to disagree on.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean you can't be friends. It doesn't mean you can't find those areas you can work with. And with several of the members across the aisle for several years now, we found a lot of issues that we can work on to move things forward, because again, we realize if we don't, we're going to fall behind in this country, and so we have to move, you know, we have to. Again, as you say, if you turn on the TV sometime and watch the nightly news, it's all bad news. And I know that when I'm home, I have people all the time say, why can't you people work together? Mm-hmm. And then I start listing off all the things, you know, for everything from rural broadband, and work down this entire list. And pretty soon people say, well, I never heard that. I said, well, you're not going to, because that's what's going to make the nightly news. It's going to be the things that, you know, or where you have five people talking all at the same time. But we find those issues we can work together on, and we're going to continue doing that.
Well, on behalf of our association that also tries to work with people on both sides to move issues forward for small markets, rural America, we thank you for that effort. We'll try to do everything we can to publicize that good news that's happening, and it's great to work with you and your team here in Washington.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. And again, it's, you know, when folks come in, I have a true policy that I can't do my job if I don't hear from folks. And so the door is open. As I tell folks, I always say, I'd rather talk to you during the day than read it at my desk at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So to get it firsthand, and also to be out in the district or across the state or someplace in the country, and be invited out to see these issues and how they are affecting people. And I think that's what's also really important to do this job correctly. I have to be out, because it's just not sitting behind a desk job. I mean, it's a windshield job. You've got to get out there and see it.
Well, you do get out there. I see you on Twitter, and I know you're out there listening and learning and finding out more about your district and the issues that affect all Americans. So thank you for your time today on our ACA Connects podcast. Congressman
Bob
Latta.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed our video podcast, DC to You, here on ACA Connects with Congressman Bob Latta of Northwest Ohio. You can always find us. Our podcast is out there. Look for us at ACA Connects on either Podomatic or Apple Podcasts. And don't forget, subscribe, rate, and review. We'll see you soon on our ACA Connects podcast.